Be'ez Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Shemini, the 8th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Avodas Gechavim, Chukos Avodeha, the laws of Avodah Zarah and the statute of those who serve it, in the Sefer Mah, the Book of Knowledge, which in this Perek we continue from the theme of the previous Perek regarding the getting rid of the Avodah Zarah, which in this Perek we discuss specifically regarding what creates the Avodah Zarah and its nullification. As Rambam goes, Halach Aleph, regarding what becomes forbidden as Avodah Zarah. So Kol She'im B'Tfisis Yad Adam. Whatever there is not an ability of a person to take hold of it, for example, mountains and hills which are connected and they're not something that could be grabbed by a person. And but they saw Adam, and neither was it made by a person. So, for example, let's say you have animals or other creatures, even though they are detached and they can be held by a person, but they weren't made by a person. But even though it was worshipped, had it a mutabanom, it is permitted to have benefit from it. Therefore, the idol worshippers, the idolaters, that they worship the mountains of Esagvois and the hills, and the trees that were planted originally for their produce, which that obviously excludes the tree that was planted for the purpose of idolatry, but that's called Asherah, which the Torah actually tells us that it is forbidden, but if it was planted originally for fruit, and the springs that are flowing for the public, for the behema and an animal, they, even though their worship are permitted to have benefit from it, and you could eat the produce of those that were worshipped in the place of where they're still growing, and va'isa behema and that animal itself. The animal that was only set aside for the purposes of idolatry but wasn't yet served, that for sure is permitted to be eaten, and then bein shigtzula of the whether it was set aside to worship it, bein shigtzula hakriva whether it was set aside to sacrifice it, here's the materis is going to be permitted because just designating it does not make it forbidden to even for hekdesh until some action was done with it. Now, the medvim, when we say this, she'ena behim in the seras, that the animal does not become forbidden, is kashlo also b'maisa l'shem avodah zarah, that no action for the purpose of idolatry was done to it. And will also b'maisa kosher, but if he did any action to it, asara makes it forbidden. So, kids at household, kugin sheshachet ba'asim avodah zarah. There's these two pipes, the food pipe and the wind pipe, in the animal's neck, which is slaughtered during the shechita. So, for example, if one of the pipes was done for the purpose of idolatry, an action was done with it, that makes it forbidden. Or asa chalip in avodah zarah. Let's say it was used in exchange for idolatry. He gave him the avodah zarah to get back this animal. Asar makes it forbidden. And mechin chalipi chalif. And even that which was an exchange of an exchange is also forbidden. Neshanasim deme avodah zarah. Because the monies which were the exchange, now that's used to buy that animal, is the monies itself of avodah zarah is forbidden. And therefore that is an exchange of what is forbidden. Now, when do we say this, that the animal becomes forbidden through an action, is bebehemes atzmai. Is by his own animal. But let's say he slaughters his friend's animal for the purpose of idolatry. Or he exchanges it. Lay Nasr does not become forbidden because person cannot make something that's not his forbidden. If someone bows down to a piece of ground, which was always there, lo asacha doesn't make it forbidden. As we said, because it doesn't have tfisas yad adam. But let's say he dug over their pits, sheikhin ma'aghas, caves, and other types of excavations, and he dug it for the purposes of idolatry, asari makes it forbidden because he did an action in it, then therefore it becomes forbidden. Halacha beis mayim, shakor magal. Regarding water that the waves uprooted from the ocean, and he bowed down to them, so lo asari hasn't make it forbidden because it wasn't attached to a person, still has the halacha as if it's attached. But Natalim biyadim, but let's say he took it out with his hands. V'shtachvelem, and he bowed down to them. Then he made it forbidden. Now avni har shenidaldelu, the stones of a mountain that got detached. V'avadim mukayim, and he served it in its place, meaning no person ever lifted it up. Again, mutaris, it's permitted. Shadei in behem tvisi ar adam, and never had that a person had taken hold of it, and therefore it still has that halacha of kol she'in by tvisi ar adam, and therefore it's not going to become forbidden even if it was worship. Halacha gimel. Yisrael shezakef levein l'shtach of his life. A Jew stands up a brick for the purposes of bowing down to it. Now, but he didn't bow down to it yet. But then an idol worshiper comes along and bows down to it. He makes it forbidden to have benefit from it. And the reason that is, although we said before that you cannot make something that's not yours forbidden, because standing the brick straight up that the Jew did was an action. He revealed his intention that he wants it for avodah zarah. So when the non-Jew bows down to it, he's like the agent of the Yisrael and makes it forbidden, even though it's not his. So too, if let's say he stands up an egg, even though standing it up is not so recognizable as much as a brick. And the non-Jew came along and bowed down to it. Asara, he makes it forbidden. So to chatach gedalas, if he cut a gourd, or a pumpkin, and something similar like that, v'shtachbala, he bows down to it, asara, he made it forbidden, even though it's not even whole. Let's say he bowed down to this half of the pumpkin. The other half is still connected to it. So that other half that wasn't worshipped is forbidden out of doubt, because maybe this other half is kamayad lechatzi aneved. It might be like a handle of the half that was worshipped, and when the primary becomes forbidden, the handle, which is like a secondary, becomes forbidden with it. It's not clear if it's like a handle, therefore out of doubt it is forbidden. Now continue on with something that is connected, which is a tree, but is forbidden. Ilan shenatu mitchila shi'enevet. If a tree that was planted with its inception to be worshipped, asabana, that is forbidden to have benefit from it. V'zui asherah amur b'Torah. This is known as the asherah tree that's mentioned in the Torah. Now, let's say how you ilan natua. Let's say it was a already pre-existed planted tree, but then the gidoy, they cut off the branches, ufasale, they removed all the bad parts, l'shem avay, deserve the purpose of idolatry, to worship the new growths that are going to come from now on, or even if they extended the tree, which they would take one of the branches and stick it into the ground, and then from there would create a new trunk, or v'hirkav, or grafting, which you take a branch of one tree and you stick it into another tree, begufay shel ilan, in the body of the tree, v'yitzisirigim, and now produced branches. So, see, you have to cut up those new branches, which was done for the purpose of idolatry, and therefore the forbidden to have benefit from it. But Shar Ilan Mutter, the rest of the tree, which was a pre existing tree and was not worshipped, is permitted. So, if someone bows down to a tree, although the tree itself does not become forbidden because he didn't do any action to the tree, but all the branches, and the leaves, and the shoots, and the produce, the fruits, that it produces, as long as it's being worshipped, they are forbidden to have benefit. Now, regarding a tree that the idolaters were protecting its produce, they said, because they're prepared, that's where they're going to make the alcoholic beverages for that false deity. And they would make this alcoholic beverage from it. They would drink it on their holiday. So this tree is forbidden to have benefit. Because we could presume that it's an asherah tree. And therefore they do with this fruits like this. That's actually the laws they would do with their asherah tree. Regarding a tree that was originally planted for the purposes of putting the idol beneath it, so as long as the idol is beneath that tree, the tree is forbidden to have benefit. Now, if you take the idol away from beneath it, it's permitted because the tree itself was not worshipped, and it's only in the function where it's serving the b'dizah. When you remove it, it's not forbidden. Now, moving on to structures. Regarding a house that was built originally by the idolaters, that the house itself should be worshipped. And someone bows down to a built house, it's forbidden to have benefit from the wood and the stone, because even though now it's connected, but it was detached, it still has the halacha when it was originally detached, and even though it was ultimately connected, like it is detached, and therefore it could become forbidden. Now, but let's say it already was built. And then v'sidoy, and then they went and they plastered it, v'kiroy, and then they went and they made different types of decorations, ornaments, l'shem avodah, for the purpose of idolatry, ashenes chadash, until they made it like new. So neitel mashachidosh, you have to take away what you introduced new. V'chidosh asbano, what was introduced new is forbidden, because that was done for the purposes of avodah zarah. M'neshasul avdi, because it was made to serve it. U'shah habayis, the rest of the house, which was not made for avodah zarah, as much as permitted. If the idolater brings the avodah zarah into the house, so kozman shisham, as long as the avodah zarah is there, habayis asabana, the house is forbidden to have benefit from it. Haitzia, if they take out the avodah zarah, huta habayis, the house becomes permitted. B'chin eben shachatzava mitchila avdi, so to a stone that was chiseled out of the mountain initially to serve it, so asur bana, it's forbidden to have benefit from it, because it was by avodah zarah of a non-Jew, becomes forbidden right away to have benefit from it. Now, let's say it was already hewn from the mountain, but then the tzira vekira, they went and they formed it and then they decorated it, that it should be worshipped. Even if they formed it and they decorated it, they graved it into the body of the stone itself. I don't have to tell you, if the decoration was only on top, not inside the stone, you just take what was introduced new, and that newness which was done for the deserts of Benin. Since it was made to worship, and the rest of the stone is mutter, that's permitted, that does not become forbidden. Regarding a stone that the Avodah Zarah was placed on it, that makes the stone forbidden, because as long as the Avodah Zarah is on top of it. Silka, if you remove the Avodah Zarah, the stone is permitted. If someone had his house near the temple of the Avodah Zarah, but Nafal, and his house collapsed. Aslab nicely, he's not allowed to rebuild his house because he's going to be building then part of the temple of the Avodah Zarah. So Ketziah, so what should he do? He has to go within his property line, an area of 4 Amos, Ubayna, and then build it. Now that space that now he's not rebuilding his house, he has to fill it up with thorns or excrement, so that it should not be now utilized and as an expansion for the temple of the Avodah Zarah. Let's say the wall actually was sheared half by him and half by the house of the Avodah Zarah. So Yodin Mechzel Mechza. It's qualified 50-50. Mechza Shaloi, the stones from his half, Amutab Anah, is permitted to have benefit from it. Shal Avodah Zarah, that of the Avodah Zarah, Zavon of its stones, eights of its wood, Vafoge, and its earth, Hakol, Azab Anah, all that is forbidden to have benefit. Halach above continues regarding getting rid of destroying the Avodah Zarah. How does one destroy the Avodah Zarah, Shor Dvar Masur Maglal, and all the other things that are forbidden because of it? Kugan, for example, Mesham Sheha, the accessories with the Krebishla and their sacrifices. So, Sheikhik, you grind it up, Bezar Leruach, and you spray it out into the wind, even though it's going to fertilize in the ground, but since the ground with the fertilizer, it's what's called Zebezegayim, permitted and forbidden making it, and therefore what's going to grow is going to be permitted. You burn it and you throw it into the Dead Sea. Halacha Zayin continues regarding the plating of the Avodah Zarah. So, davar she'im by tvisas yad adam, even something that there is no hold that a person has over it, should never, which but it was worshipped, going in, for example, hog of mountains, a behemoth, animal, the eel, and the tree. So, avar bisha never asked me, although we had said that even though it was worshipped, it's permitted to have benefit from it, but tzipuyav, it's plating, asurim bahana, is forbidden to have benefit. And whoever does have any benefit from it, like it's going to get lashed, or something like it says the pasuk in the bottom, loisach mit kesav zav aleihem, don't desire the gold and silver that's on them, and b'chol tzipui avodas kechavim, all the plating of the avodah zarah harim b'chol mashem shel is included into their accessories. Halacha ches continues regarding the bittul, the nullification of the avodah zarah. Avodah zarah shel goyim, regarding the avodah zarah, the idol of the non-Jew, shebitlu goyim, that the Gentile nullify the kaidim shetabel deyisrael before it comes into the possession of a Jew, it is matez banot, permitted to have benefit from it. Kashnemet says in the pasuk psile eloi heihem tizavumeish, the graven image of their deities you should burn in fire, which teaches kishabol yedenu. It's only when it comes to our hands veim noigin behem elohus, and they treating it with as if it's a deity, then we have to burn it. Avolim bitl, but if they nullified it, hadeil matar, and then they're going to be permitted. Halachates, now, Avodah Zarah shel Yisrael. However, if a Jew has an Avodah Zarah, it can never be nullified. Even if a Gentile had a partnership in it, his nullification is not effective at all. It's going to be forbidden to have benefit from it forever, or to unagniz, and has to be hidden away. Even if it was an idol of a Gentile, Shaboli Ad Yisrael, but ultimately came to a Jew, and then the Gentile nullified it, in betula mel klum, his nullification is not effective at all, el asura ba nol oyim, it's going to be forbidden to have benefit from it forever. Ve'in yisrael mavatla avodah zarah, and now a Jew can never nullify an idol, v'chil b'shus goy, even in the possession of a Gentile who he gave him permission to nullify his idol, doesn't work. Now, goy katan, a Gentile that's a minor, or shayt, or mentally deranged, in mavatla avodah zarah, he does not have the ability to nullify the avodah zarah. Now, a Gentile that nullifies an Avodah Zarah, Bein Shaloi, whether it was his own, or Bein Shaloi Machem, or whether it was some other Gentiles, Bal Karcha, even against his will, Av Beish HaNosei Solkach, and even if the Jew is forcing him to do the nullification, it's going to be nullified. As long as the Gentile that's nullifying the Avodah Zarah is an idol worshiper himself. But if the Gentile is not an idol worshiper himself, in between the bitl, then his nullification is not going to be a nullification. If someone nullifies an Avodah Zarah, that automatically nullifies the accessories. But the Misham Shem, if he only nullified the accessories, Misham Shem would turn, so the accessories are going to be permitted. But Vihi Asurah Manoah commercial Isa, but Abba Dezer means forbidden as it originally was. I should have Lena until that's nullified. But the Kravis Abba Dezer now, the sacrifice of idolatry, Eina B'Teil Oem, that can never be nullified once it was already sacrificed. Halacha Yud goes through the process of how Bitl actually is done. So Ketzim Avatla, how does one nullify the Abba Dezer? So Kata Resh Chatma, you cut off the tip of its nose, Resh Ozna, the tip of the edge of its ear, Resh Etzba, the tip of its finger, or Pchasa B'Fanao, or if you smash the image of the face, even if you don't take away any of it, you just mush the face. Or if he sells it to a jeweler that's a Jew, a smelter. It's going to be nullified because he knows that he's going to break it down and make other vessels out of it. In contrast, if he sells it to a non-Jewish jeweler, he's not mavatlid because he thinks that maybe that jeweler will end up serving it and not breaking it. Now, but if let's say he uses it as collateral or he sells it to a Gentile, or he sold it to a Jew that's not a jeweler, or let's say a building collapsed on the idol and he didn't clear it away, or let's say bandits stole it and he didn't try to claim it, or he spit in front of it, or he urinated in front of it, or he dragged it in the mud, or throws excrement at it, all these different things, that is not a nullification because regarding all these things, it's not a definite proof that he's intending to move out. Like, it could be just angry momentarily, and when his anger ceases to be, then he'll go back and serve it, and therefore that would not be considered as a nullification contract when he did something permanent like cutting off its nose. Regarding an idol, that its worshippers left it and abandoned it. So if it's b'shashal at a time of peace, mitechas banot permitted to have benefit from it because they're bit lulah. Obviously, they nullified it and they didn't care for it anymore. But b'shashal melchum if it's a time of war, asur it's forbidden neshalay nechu because they didn't leave it on neshal melchum because of the war. So they just fled, but they didn't necessarily nullify it. Avaydazara shenishbo me'aleha regarding an idol that broke by itself, it fell. So the broken pieces are forbidden to have benefit from it because they serve even the broken pieces. Until they nullify it. So if someone finds broken pieces of an Avodah Zarah, they're forbidden to have benefit from it because maybe the Gentiles did not nullify it and the suffix of maybe he did be mevatli cannot be mitzvah nevadai of the Isra of even the broken pieces. Now, the mitzvah shel prakim, if it was a idol made out of different parts, the head you yachal achzir and the regular person could put it back together again. So tzarich levatel kol perek perek meperekar. You actually have to nullify every single part of its pieces. V'mein yachal achzir now if it cannot be put back together by a regular person. So kimin shebitel eber echem mena. So once you nullify one part of it, butler kol hashvam, then all the broken pieces. You have to nullify every single piece individually. Halachid beis mizbach avodah zarah shenifgam, the altar of idolatry of an idol that became dented. Still forbidden to have benefit from it, until the majority of it was smashed by the non-Jew. Whereas a bimus shenifgam, which we can explain in a moment, a bimus, which is one stone, if it got dented, mutter, it is permitted. What's considered a bimus and what's a mizbeach? So bimus is even achas, one stone. One stone got dented, it's already bottled. Mizbeach, an ultra, one harp has many stones, if it got dented, it's not going to be until the majority of it is smashed. Now, of the Markulis, how do you nullify the stones of the Markulis, which actually is worshipped by throwing stones at it? So just being stones is not a bittel. So but it's when you build a structure out of those stones, use it to pave the roads, or similar types of things, then they're permitted to benefit because that's a bittel because you're using it for something else. How do you nullify the Asherah, the Avodah Zarah tree? So if you broke off from it a leaf, or you cut off a thin branch, or you took from the wood a stick or a scepter or a shashfa, or you went and you smoothed it down, not for the need, not to make it more beautiful, it's just because you needed some type of sawdust or some other utility, so then you're using it for something else, that's a nullification. But if he sanded it down for its need to make it nicer, then he has to, then it's going to be forbidden. But those things that you cut off, that will be permitted. Now, but if this tree was owned by a Jew, then whether he's taking off these things for the need of the Avodah tree, whether or not, whether the tree or whether the dust that you're sawing off, it's all going to be forbidden forever. Because the Avodah Zarah Jew, ain't lo bitl oyom. Never has a nullification, therefore none of these options are going to work.